If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Today, we'll talk about maximizing your FastPass Plus reservation. That's coming up on this episode 41 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here today for episode 41. This episode is about FastPass Plus, and it's one of those topics that I feel like I could never speak about enough. That and free dining. It's like if every podcast was about those two topics, there would still be lots of questions and it would still be people listening to every single episode. So today we're going to talk about maximizing your FastPass Plus reservations to get the most out of those. Before we dive into the main topic, I do have a couple of things to mention. As usual, you can find me on Twitter, Pinterest, or the Facebook page, all under the name WDW Prep School. And I did want to talk about a couple of different ways that you can listen to the show. So if you are listening through the podcast app on your iOS device, like your iPhone, your iPad, the show description now allows hyperlinks. So when I say you can find the information in the show notes, you actually can probably see that in the description now in the podcast app, including a downloadable image that I'm going to mention as part of today's topic. You should be able to click on the link within the description of the app and save it to your phone from there. Some things won't work depending on the type of code that is included. The podcast app will strip some things out, but a lot of it will be included there. And I'm trying to be careful to make sure that my show notes appear correctly in the podcast app. So just look there as opposed to going to the website if you are interested. And if you are listening on the website, just a reminder that you can subscribe in iTunes or you can download the Stitcher app and listen to it that way. I get people that will message me or leave a comment on the site and say, I wish that you wouldn't do podcasts because I feel like I'm stuck on my computer sitting here listening for 30 minutes and I don't want to sit down for 30 minutes. Or this trip is a surprise for my child and I don't want them to hear this. I wish it was all in text. And I think that those people are probably new to podcasts and only know that they can hit the play button on the website. But the real benefit to podcasts is that they are portable. So you can subscribe in iTunes or listen in Stitcher, and you can take me with you on a walk or in the car or while you work, etc. You are not tied to your computer, and you certainly don't have to sit still and listen to me for 30 minutes. So just a reminder to do it that way to make it more convenient for you. And also, just as usual, I will have a quick tip of the day at the end of the episode, so stay tuned for that. So before we dive into sort of some detailed advice I have for FastPass Plus reservations, just a quick overview, because there are people that are brand new to this and have no idea what I'm talking about. I try to be aware of that at all times, but sometimes I end up using abbreviations when I post on Facebook or something and people say, I don't speak this language. I don't know what you're talking about. So I need to always start with a little overview so that new people understand where we're coming from. So the brief overview of the FastPass Plus system is that Disney replaced their paper FastPasses with a FastPass Plus system, which is digital. And the way that it works, in very briefly, is that you go onto mydisneyexperience.com and you have a free account there. And as long as you have park tickets linked within your account, you can book 3 rides ahead of time per day of your trip in one park. And if you're staying on site and you have an on-site hotel reservation, you can do that 60 days ahead of time. If you don't, you can do it 30 days ahead of time. But both ways, you have to have park tickets to linked in your account that shows Disney that you have purchased and you are actually going to be there. And There are some rules about which fast passes can be booked and that kind of stuff. And that will be part of our conversation today. But that is sort of a very brief overview. The Fast Pass Plus reservations are generally 1 hour blocks of time. So when you go on to book it, you can book, for instance, say 1:15 to 2:15 p.m. and you show up anytime within that window to visit that ride. They do allow you to show up 5 minutes early and 15 minutes late usually. So if you have something that maybe makes you arrive late to a ride, they do have a little bit of a cushion, but the official FastPass Plus return time is usually 1 hour. The exception is for shows, because for instance, if a show is at 1:30, a lot of times the FastPass Plus reservation will say something like 1 o'clock to 1:20. And so you would just get there in that 20-minute time frame, and then they would allow you to go into the show first before the other people will go in, right around 1:30. So in general, that's sort of how it works. And I'm going to have some tips today about maximizing those FastPass Plus reservations, because you do only get 3 per day initially. And the rules have recently changed so that a lot of the complaints that people had before, like, oh, 3 isn't enough, or I can't park hop or whatever, a lot of those rules have changed. So now you can actually do that. So my first tip on FastPass Plus reservations is to only use it for important rides. Most rides at Disney World actually do allow FastPass Plus, and people that don't plan ahead will often end up with FastPass Plus reservations. I feel like I'm saying that FastPass Plus so many times, it's like a tongue twister. People that don't plan ahead will often end up with ridiculous ones that don't need it. So like the Captain EO show at Epcot or something like that, where there's never a wait and it's really pointless. But you need to, as a person who is planning ahead of time, you need to make your reservations only for the important rides. So for example, at Epcot, you only really need a FastPass Plus for Soarin' or Test Track. Now, the way that Epcot's set up, you have to choose one or the other. This is considered part of the top tier at Epcot, and you have to choose one or the other. My recommendation is for Soarin', and then you would either ride Test Track first or ride Test Track in the single rider line. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. At Animal Kingdom, I would suggest that you need to use FastPass Plus for Expedition Everest and Safaris, and then a third one, which could be Dinosaur or Cali River Rapids or Festival of the Lion King. That has now reopened, and I love the FastPass Plus for that show because sitting in the front at that show is a really great idea. That gives you the best view. For most shows, that is not the case. So at Animal Kingdom, for sure, Expedition Everest and Safaris, and then you would want to pick your third one for whatever is most of interest to you. Between the others that I mentioned, at Hollywood Studios, we again have tiers, just like at Epcot. And in that top tier, you have Toy Story Mania or Rock and Roller Coaster. And so you would want to pick one of those. And then Tower of Terror or Star Tours or Great Movie Ride, one of those would be great as the second and third. I guess two of those would be great as your second options in the tier two group. And then finally, Magic Kingdom has so many. I feel like I could talk about it for days. But the most important ones that you need to know about there are the Anna and Elsa FastPass Plus reservations, which are the hardest by far to get. And that's actually the only one that really disappears really far in advance. Sometimes 60 days ahead of time, they are gone. Everything else is fairly easy to get. The next one would be Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, because that just opened and all the new things are always the most popular. And then you've got Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and Space Mountain and Peter Pan and Enchanted Tales with Belle. There are lots of different options at Magic Kingdom, but you definitely wouldn't want to use it for something that's super simple. Like really any of the shows at Magic Kingdom don't need a FastPass Plus. And, you know, there's lots of littler rides like maybe Barnstormer or Mad Tea Party. You know, you wouldn't want to use it for that. There's so many other great things that you want to use your FastPass Plus for. And I do have complete posts about every single park that I'll include in the show notes that list all of FastPass Plus options, which ones I recommend, as well as touring plans and recommended FastPass Plus times for each of the parks. And so I'll include a link to that in the show notes so you have more detail. But the bottom line thing here that you need to know is just don't use your FastPass Plus for things that don't matter. That's number one. Number two is that you might not want to use FastPass Plus for rides that have single rider lines. Now, it's relatively easy to remember which things have single rider lines because they all have alliterative, is that a word? Alliterated names. Expedition Everest, Test Track, and Rock and Roller Coaster. So EETT and RR. Those three things offer single rider lines. Rock and Roller Coaster tends to be the least beneficial of all of them. For some reason, the single rider line there is just doesn't move as quickly as the other two. But certainly for Expedition Everest and Test Track, you can easily get in the single rider lines there. So you might not want to use a FastPass Plus line for those. Or you may want to use a FastPass Plus for them and do the single rider line so that you can ride a couple of times without having to wait. Expedition Everest happens to be my favorite ride at Disney World. So I will often get a FastPass Plus for Expedition Everest and then get in the single rider line so I can ride it twice in a relatively short amount of time. So that's number two, is to consider not booking FastPass Plus for things that offer single rider lines. Number three is that if you're prioritizing which FastPass Plus you want to get, you might want to make sure you use it for longer attractions. So for instance, the Enchanted Tales of Belle is one of the longest attractions because it's got a pre-show and a show, and it's it just takes a while. Once you get in there, it takes a little bit of time. So a lot of times it makes sense to use your FastPass Plus for things that take longer because for instance, when you first arrive to a park in the morning and you, in that same 20 minute time that you were at Enchanted Tales of Belle, you could have ridden, you know, maybe two other rides in that time. So by using a FastPass Plus for it, you can actually visit it later in the day without waiting and use your time in the morning for more rides than you would if you had a FastPass Plus. I'm twisting my words here, but I think you know what I mean, right? Okay. So, I mentioned Enchanted Tales of Belle as an option for something that is lengthy. Another one would be Jungle Cruise, for instance, or really any of the shows are fairly long. So, you know, I'll include a link in the show notes that gives you the length of the attraction so that that can help you prioritize. And this is mostly important in Magic Kingdom. The other parks are just not as difficult to plan with FastPass Plus, but Magic Kingdom might be one where you'd want to employ some strategy for the FastPass Plus based on the length of the ride. So number four on my list here is to make use of rider switch. And just as a brief overview, rider switch is when you have a person in your group, usually a small child, that can't or won't ride a bigger ride, but the adults or the bigger kids still want to ride. And so the first half of the group goes and rides and they say, I'd like a rider switch pass. And the cast member gives you a ticket that is good for up to three people. And then the second half of your group can then ride. And then with this scenario, somebody's always with the small child. And so my tip here is to make use of rider switch, but you don't have to use FastPass Plus for everyone in your group. So if you have a family of five and only one small child that's not going to ride, you would make FastPass Plus for the first two people, for instance, ask for a rider switch pass, and then up to three people can go in the second group. And you can effectively double your FastPass Plus reservations this way. Takes a bit of strategy, takes a bit of planning, but it's certainly a way to stretch your FastPass Plus reservations. Number five is don't use your FastPass Plus reservation if you arrive to a ride and the standby line is short. So if you have a FastPass Plus and you go to a ride to use it, for instance, Star Tours, it oftentimes has short lines, but sometimes it doesn't. So if you arrive there and it says 10 minute wait, then it would be good to just get in the standby line and then open your phone and switch it to something else for later in the day, or get in standby line, go on Star Tours, and then go to a kiosk in the park and switch it to something else later in the day if you aren't able to use your phone to do that. But this will keep you from wasting FastPass Plus reservations. One place this may not be useful is at Epcot, because it's actually, you know, you have to make three FastPass Plus reservations, and oftentimes you may not even need the second and the third one because the lines aren't going to require it. So, for instance, if you get to Spaceship Earth and it's only a 10-minute standby wait, you know, you go ahead and use your FastPass Plus if you want to. It doesn't really matter. But at the other parks, you may want to just jump in the standby line and change it to something else for later on. Number six on my list is to book your FastPass Plus reservations for late morning or early afternoon. And that's because the first couple of hours that you are in a park are great times for touring without any FastPass Plus reservations. Most people will sleep in, They aren't going to be there when the park opens. And so you can make use of that time to ride without FastPass Plus. And then once the crowds start to arrive, then you'll have reservations that you can use to avoid the lines. So the earliest I would use FastPass Plus most times is late morning or early afternoon. And this feeds into the next thing on my list. Number 7 is that you can now use park hopping with FastPass Plus. You didn't used to be able to when the system first launched, but now the way it works is that you book your first 3 FastPass Plus reservations in a park, and then once those are either used or expired, you can then get another FastPass Plus in either the same park you're in, or you can go to another park and get that 4th FastPass Plus. The only trick right now on these is that the bonus FastPass Pluses, that's what I'm going to call anything over 3, you have to be booked at kiosks, and you can only do it one at a time. So for instance, if you are at Magic Kingdom, you use the first 2 hours to tour without FastPass Plus, and then you use the next couple of hours to tour with your 3 FastPass Plus reservations. You could then go to a kiosk and say, okay, I'd like to get a 4th. And then the cast member that helps you can help you figure out what is available and what times. And you can then book it. And then once you use that, you can get another one. This will depend on availability. And if you're going during a busy time of year, there may not be a lot of availability. And so it just really depends. I do recommend for people that are taking breaks in the afternoon that you head to a kiosk and look for a FastPass Plus reservation to use for the evening when you come back. And that way, that's one less thing you have to think about in the evening. So for instance, if you are in the park and your family really likes Space Mountain because it's a fun coaster, you can use a FastPass Plus to ride it the first time. And then when you come back, you could have a FastPass Plus to ride it again. And that is one of the features of the bonus FastPasses, is that they can be used for something that you've already ridden. Whereas the first set of 3 FastPass Plus reservations that you get all have to be for different rides. But the 4th one could be used to repeat a favorite thing that your family loved, and you don't have to worry about standing in lines when you come back in the evening. On the other hand, you can hop to another park. So let's say you use the first half of the day at a park and you use 3 FastPass Plus reservations. You could go to another park and get your 4th FastPass at that park. And then sometimes this is going to be easier in some parks than others. For instance, you may have an easier time hopping to Animal Kingdom and getting a FastPass Plus for safaris than you would hopping to Magic Kingdom midday, because a lot of those fast passes disappear. So it'll just totally depend on availability and capacity of the rides in the parks. But that's definitely an option. And I would say that in terms of hopping, Animal Kingdom's a fairly easy one to hop to, because you could get a FastPass Plus for Safari and ride Expedition Everest in the single rider line. Hollywood Studios may not be. If you want to do Toy Story Mania, those might disappear, but all other things should be pretty easy to get, I would think. And at Epcot, Soarin FastPass Plus reservations might disappear depending on the time of year. Those do go fairly quickly, but you could ride single rider line for Test Track. So, you know, there's just some different configurations you might consider with that. And to make this all easier, I have developed or designed a graphic that will fit easily on your phone so you can save it to your camera roll. And it basically summarizes all of my FastPass Plus reservations, which are written in articles on the site, but this will be a quick reference in a picture, and you can download it on your phone. If you're listening on an iOS device, you should be able to click the link in the description, the notes on this episode, and download it right to your phone. If you're on the website, just use your browser on your phone to pull up my website and save it from there. And so that should be a handy reference tool to make it easy as you're touring to say, okay, what's a good thing for me to get today? Or, you know, what's a good 4th fast pass, or, you know, that kind of thing. Just a quick reference for you. And so you can get that on the website. I also always include the link at the end of the show, so you can go to the website and go right to this episode to get it. If you happen to be listening to this beyond June 2014, it might be a little bit hard to find, but you can go to the link and go right to it. I do have a quick tip of the day that is related to, it sounds related to what I just mentioned, and it's about photos on your phone. One of the issues is that Camera phones have gotten so great that people now rely on them as their phones. But when you're on a Disney World trip, you will often take so many pictures that you could fill your phone up easily. And I have an iPhone that is 64 gigabytes. I purposely got a big one because I knew that I'd be filling it up with lots of pictures and podcasts and things and apps and music. And I got a 64 gigabyte and I still hit my maximum on my last Disney World trip. So my tip here is to download the Dropbox app and upload your photos to the Dropbox app. And effectively, you're using the Dropbox app as your camera roll. So instead of having all the pictures taking up space on your phone, you can allow the Dropbox app to handle them and allow Dropbox to offload that memory from your phone. And I would recommend doing this before your trip. So download Dropbox at home. And then when you're on Wi-Fi, like overnight while you're sleeping, just keep the Dropbox app open so it can upload all the photos from your phone. And then on your trip, you can use Wi-Fi in your hotel room or whatever and allow it to automatically transfer photos there so that you don't run out of room and end up like I did on my last trip in the middle of a video and have it completely quit because it ran out of space. So plan ahead and, you know, get your photos off your phone ahead of time so that you won't get in that sort of sticky situation. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WDW Rip to Go. For more information on this show, including the graphic that I mentioned and all of the notes of that cover the things that I talked about earlier, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode41. That is the number 41. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.